Now may we look at the Lord's baptism of fire. The Gospel according to Luke and chapter 12, verses 49 and 50, from which I extract these words. I come to send fire upon the earth, but I have a baptism to be baptized with. Our Lord, we read in Matthew 26 and verse 27, took the cup and gave thanks. That cup represented his sufferings and bloodshedding. That was suffering and sorrow beyond human comprehension. Yet at the same time, there was thanksgiving. It is something akin to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Sorrow and joy are mingled together. The cold north wind and the balmy south wind blow together. So the apostle says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. There is no contradiction, but something ineffably divine. The Lord's cup has both these elements. The cup is not an eternal sadness. There is that in the cup for which he could give thanks. The cup of our Lord is central to the life of the assembly of his people. There is an aspect of that cup which is entirely the Lord. It is his alone. That is the atoning and redemptive element. In that, we have no part. His drinking of that cup had to do with his absorption of God's judgment and wrath against sin. His drinking all of it has made possible the remission of sin. Matthew 26 and verse 28. Our justification springs from the shedding of Jesus' blood. That is a theme which endless ages of praise must leave untold. It is the ransom price of the human soul. That blood has washed his people from their sins, and by it they are made clean in the sight of God. But there is a believer's side to that same cup. We are called to share not the atoning, redemptive aspect of it, but the reproach of our Lord. There is that evil face in the spirit realm which hates the character and work of God's beloved Son. Evil cannot bear his presence. It is that hostility and reproach which involves all true believers. We have taken sides with him against that great enemy of God. So we drink the cup of his reproach. And we must take that cup and give thanks. Unless we are utterly with him, that cup will drive us out, as it did Judas, into the blackness and darkness of the night. Notice then the separating power of the cross. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devil. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 21. All that is of Christ is utterly apart from all that is of the devil. These two realms can never be brought together. This is the reason why the apostle wrote this letter to the Corinthians. They were doing this very thing, so that there was an unlawful gathering at the Lord's table. The children of light cannot sit down with the children of darkness. There must be a discrimination exercised and a difference recognized. The drinking of the cup is also something more than the remembrance of our Lord's sorrows and death on the cross. The believers partaking of that cup means that we are to be very different people from those who are not the Lord. There must be a life that is different. The drinking of the cup demands that. Separation from the world there must be. Notice, in the second place, the unifying power of the cross. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. It is the blood of Christ which removes the sin, which separates us from the Lord, so that restoration and reconciliation are made possible. There is a new relationship established with God through the blood of the cross. The Spirit of God has shown us the reconciling worth of the cross and has opened our enraptured eyes to the cleansing stream. But further, it unifies all who are the Lord's. It not only unifies us to God and makes and restores us to fellowship with Him, but it unifies all who are the Lord's. We are on common ground when we participate in this feast. We eat and drink together. There is no authority in the Word of God for partaking of the cup in the privacy of our own homes. It is a corporate participation. I hear there be divisions among you, said the apostle to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 18. That is a violation of all that the cup represents. It is a mockery to come to the Lord's table and to be at enmity one with another. This is a table of love. This is a cup which unifies us. There is a unifying power in the cross of Christ. Thirdly, you see the evangelizing power of the cross. I am come, he said, to send fire on the earth. I have a baptism to be baptized with. Luke 12:49-50. The fire could not be scattered until his baptism of suffering was accomplished. The evangelization of the world lay in suspense until man's redemption was fully wrought out and completed. If we take the scattering of fire to mean the evangelization of the world, the salvation of souls, the expansion of our Lord's spiritual kingdom, that the whole world would feel the heat and fire of gospel truth against which it cannot stand, then everything of that nature was dependent upon the baptism of suffering by our Lord, dependent, as it were, upon the drinking of the cup. That ministry is also one of suffering for his people. We identify with that when we drink the cup. That is the second reason why we drink the cup. The first reason is the remembrance of our Lord in his suffering. The second is our participation in the work of spreading the gospel. And that may involve us in a fire baptism. We must be separated from all that is devilish to do that. We must be unified as a believing people to do that. We cannot be effective without both. Are ye able to drink the cup that I shall drink of? And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Asked our Lord. We are able. Matthew 20 verse 12 said James and John. Now listen. The Lord answered, ye shall indeed. Mark 10 and verse 39. And one of these two, James, was indeed a martyr, slain by Herod. Listen to the words of an unknown author. And couldst thou, Lord, thy thanks express in prospect of thy deep distress? And at thy table spread to show the symbols of thy coming woe? And couldst thou bless thy God on high, that he had sent thee thus to die, and for our sins to give thee up, to drink wrath's overwhelming cup? Oh, what a love must thine have been to raise in view of such a scene, when broken bread and poured out wine portrayed those bitter woes of thine. How remarkable that when he took the cup, he gave thanks. Amen. Amen. Amen.